Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Human dimension to your essence, and there's a divine dimension to your essence. To explore the possibilities of your human dimensions, you may need to go to a university. You may need to read a book, and you may need to listen to a mentor. But to draw from your divine dimension, you must journey in the spirit. Because there's a place where light dwells, and until mortals find the pathway of the spirit and come to that point where ordinations are dictated, they cannot have relevance in time. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I know your father is a priest, and they have taught you the ways of the Torah, but there is a dwelling of light that knows no corruption. And when you come there, the articles of your destiny will be read by the immortal one himself, because he knew you before you were formed. There's a place beyond the stars, and when we come to convergences like this, we want to travel beyond the dimensions where the voices of men echo. We want to hear only the things that are eternal. This is why we cry for eternity. I don't know why you came. Oh my God. Can you talk to God? We will take a flight in a moment. So they go from strength to strength, every one of them that appeared before you in Zion. God, tonight, help us to journey. Help us to journey. That we may see the things that are kept for us before the foundations of the world. Help us tonight. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated. Let me start from somewhere. We are considering a very important subject, and Mama Opie already began to show us the dynamics involved in unveiling these spiritual possibilities. Because of the things I'll be sharing tonight, I want to explain or set a disclaimer that God blesses us with earthly things, and it's his desire for us to grow, master the principles that governs the earth realm. The earth is not standing on a rock. The foundation of the earth is not a stone. The foundation of the visible universe are laws and principles. And when a man understands these principles and put them to work, he will grow strong and dominate the earth. In fact, when you study the scriptures, in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, the Bible said, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow to it. There are many scriptures like that. He said, tell them that are rich in this world to be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God that giveth to every man liberally that he may enjoy. So it is a good will of the Father to have us prosper and to enjoy this life to the full. The reason is because many times when you want to talk about spiritual realities, it looks as if you are undermining the place of a good life. That's not the point at all. Spirituality will not really make sense if we are not opportuned or permitted of God to enjoy this life. That's why I love that scripture. He said that we may enjoy. He giveth to every man liberally. In fact, some people think all the monies God give you or the opportunities he gives to you are meant for kingdom advancement and kingdom only. But you are also part of God's kingdom. And so the advancement of your life is the advancement of God's kingdom. So there is no force, no doctrine anywhere that negates a good life. In fact, when a man begins to excel in the things of the spirit, the byproduct is reflected in the natural life. He said, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise God. And so the emphasis I will be bringing to us tonight does not in any way negate making progress in life or living a good life. But when you judge man from the scales of the immortals, you will discover that the value of this enterprise called man is factored into different dimensions. This is why Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That means bodily life is nothing compared to soulish life. And in the same vein, soulish life is nothing compared to spiritual life. And so as much as it is good to enjoy this life, it's important to have a scale of priorities. And so if you are not making progress in the spirit, every progress you are making in the natural is a mirage. That's why he said, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. That means you are not permitted to have much more money than you have love for God. If the money you have is more than the knowledge of Jesus you have, you are already drifting into idolatry. That means a man who has more money than God is already departed from God. He doesn't just know it. A short time will tell him. So the amount of good life you have should be commensurate to the degree of the experience of God that you have. That means our spiritual experiences control our natural experiences. This is why many people, the moment they begin to excel in life, they forget God. In fact, when you call them to support the things of God, they call it a waste. Because as far as they are concerned, if it does not translate to buying of lands, making investments and having natural assets, it's nothing. Because they don't know about spiritual assets. And so you tell them to give for evangelism, they think it's a waste. You tell them to give for a spiritual project, they think it's a waste. Because as far as they are concerned, the fullness of their life is in the natural. They have a land in Guarimpa, they have a land in Lugbe, and they are counting the lands they have. But if you study Luke 16, there's a man like that. He said he has labored. He accredited his progress to his labors. And he said his barn is filled. But when the immortals judged him, they didn't even call him a man. They called him a fool. Because a fool says in his heart, there's no God. I know principles. If I apply them, they will work. I have a good job, it will work. You have not checked the foundation of the earth. You have not understood the politics of the spiritual realm. And so when we teach like this, we want to draw our attention to the things that truly matters. And this is why I want to advance this subject from a completely different paradigm. When we talk about the new, what are we talking about? Before we start talking about bettings, what are we referring to? What is the new? Precious Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 8. It says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. He said, knock, the door shall be opened unto you. He said, for whoever asketh, receiveth. Whoever seeketh findeth, and whoever knocketh, the door shall be opened unto him. These are three realms of possibilities as far as our human experience is concerned. You ask for what you know. You cannot ask for what you don't know. And that means a man operating in the realm of asking is functioning from a realm of established realities. I can ask for prosperity. I can ask for an anointing. I can ask for a grace because I have seen it manifest in the life of another man. I have seen it manifest in a certain place. For example, walking into this place, I was welcomed with great excellence, and I can appreciate it and ask for it. I was welcomed with great administrative intelligence and coordination. I can ask for it because I have seen it in the life of God's servant. But if we only walk in the realm of asking, there will be no new. No matter how much you receive, you can receive a new level of favor. It is still favor. So long as the syllabus of the divine is concerned, that dimension is already on earth. And so no matter how well you excel, you are excelling on a path that is already established. The problem with that is that the move of God cannot depend on you. Because when God wants to shift, there is a totally different paradigm shift. And if you are functioning in what already is, what should come may not necessarily include you. Because in fact, if you are not careful, that thing you are doing, 1,001 persons are already doing it. And according to the scale of divine possibilities, until the baton is handed, you cannot be the gatekeeper. Meanwhile, God is in a hurry to create a shift. God is in a hurry to shift the earth to another dimension. So as beautiful as it is to begin from the realm of asking, there are virgin dimensions in God. That's why it says to seek. So when you want to do the business of the new, you have to come to the realm of the seekers. The men that touch things that were not. The men that touch things that are not yet born. Because the things God wants to do are still a mystery. And so somebody can have a dimension of spiritual understanding, and you will study his books, you will listen to his messages, and you will start preaching what he preaches, and you will have the results he has. But a point will come when the gate will open, and you will step to a realm that person has not entered. He is teaching new creation realities. People are giving their hearts to Christ. The next time you teach new creation realities, legs begin to grow out. You have entered the new. Somebody is applying a principle and is doing well in life. You apply the same principle. In addition to doing well in life, you become a force to your generation. You have entered the new. So the subject of the new is actually a dimension that is allocated to a generation. There is a body of knowledge allocated to our generation that was not available to the apostles of old. There is a dimension of authority that is available to our generation that is not available to the apostles of old or to the businessmen of old. Until those doors open to us, we have not entered the new. And the demons that mastered the men of old, if we don't step into the new, if they meet us, they will know how to conquer us. And so somebody was making money by principles alone. The demons know where to meet him. They know that now that he's at the level of 1 million, he still fears God. In fact, they will hasten his prosperity because they know there is a realm where people who function by principles can't say no. It's the realm of billions. And if they want to bring him down quickly, they will fast track the volume of money entering his hand. And the moment he enters billions, God will become far from him. Until he enters another level of glory and he sees something that the natural man working with principle have not seen, he will compromise 1,000 times. And so when we are talking about new, they are realms of realities. And tonight, I want to mention 3 of them before we begin to move forward. Praise God. If you have not touched certain things, what I'm saying now will not make sense to you. There are realms of compromises. Demons know them. If you are praying for an anointing, they wait. They know that now your heart is pure. Wait until you can gather people in the stadium. Then they will begin to introduce you to things that are in that realm. And if you have not touched the new, you will compromise. You are doing business with a perfect heart. You say you are a real estate agent. They will allow you first. At this level, diligence is okay. At this level, wisdom is okay. By the time you come to a point where you have 200 hectares, then the prince will show up and tell you 200 hectares are not for ordinary men. Where's your allegiance? That's when they will tell you to compromise with government, compromise with security agents. You will see things you've never seen before. You can be in ministry, you say you are a pure man. Wait until nations begin to look for you. Even if you don't choose to compromise, they will raise demonic apostles who will push you to the walls to come to a point where you want to subscribe to gimmicks because you want to keep your name or your integrity. If you want to see the new, it's beyond possession, it's a realm. You are mighty on your throne. This is not for average people. Don't worry. If you want to be an average man, it's fine. Wait until you become like Sinach. You will understand what it means to be loyal to a pastor, as against fame and popularity. When you come for one meeting and they give you 100 million and then you have 30 meetings in a month, you will ask yourself whether it's still wise to do a retreat, because the 7 days of retreat will be equivalent to 400 million. And then you ask yourself, is retreat necessary? Can't I be driving for the meeting and praying in the plane? The flight is 6 hours. I can pray in the flight for 6 hours. Why do I need to shut down for 3 days? You will discover the new is not the money. There is a realm you must enter to be able to defy 300 million. And so 300 million will mean nothing to you. That is not something that happens by chance. You must have seen something that is beyond the stars. And so a man who is walking in the new, number one, must transcend to realms of glory. When we talk about the new, we are talking about the excelling glory. The reason the 20 and 4 elders are intact is because every time they look up, they see another dimension. If a dimension is repeated, they will leave the throne room. That's why they sit down. The moment they look up, they see another glory. They fall down. When they look up, they see another glory. So they are kept there. Even though they have the greatest knowledge in heaven, the glory will not let them depart. Because the economy of the glory is actually not the fascination you behold. The economy of the glory is the transformation it brings to you. That transformation purifies you and brings you to higher realms of life. Because life is in different realms. When Moses saw the glory, he was there for 40 days. He didn't realize that days were passing. Because what he was seeing deadened the appetite for food. He had entered another economy of life. At the natural realm, you need water and food. But when you enter the glory, the presence becomes a meal. And when Moses came down, the token he had to show was that the Bible said in Exodus 33, 29, 30, that he wished not that his face was shining. He had entered another realm. The Bible spoke concerning Jesus. The disciples and the Jewish people gathered together and said, "We will make you king." He ran away. Who runs from thrones? Who runs from promotion? "We will make you a king." He said, "No, that's not why I came. I will stay true to the cause." Because every time Jesus goes to the private chamber, he was doing business with the glory. And on one occasion, he told the disciples, "Follow me." And he took them to the place of prayer. In Matthew 17 verse 2, the Bible said, as he prayed, he said the fashion of his countenance was altered. He said his raiment began to glister, and there appeared before him Moses and Elias. That means every time he prayed, he entered the glory. I will talk about prayer. I just want to define what the new is first. And so a man who transits to glory on a daily basis, which earthly throne do you want to give him? You are a joker. The Bible spoke concerning Stephen in Acts 6:15. When they were about to stone him to death, he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand. And immediately his face began to shine like the face of an angel. He was no longer afraid of death. So a man who has entered the new has mastered how to abound and to abase. The pleasures of this life doesn't get his attention, and the sorrows of this life does not get his attention. That's why Paul can be in a palace today, tomorrow he can be in the jungle. None of them defines his essence. He has entered an economy that is superior to earthly possession. If you have not journeyed into the economy superior to earthly possession, you don't know what the new is. What you have is just a reshuffling of earthly things. A man who has entered the new understands the economy of glory. That's why that man does not have a compromise. When you begin to study the strata of life, you will discover that there are seven strata of life that men are supposed to graduate into. And the economy of glory is actually a transition from one level of life to another level of life. When God created the man, I've taught this again and again, he told us in the scriptures that he gathered the dust from the ground. That was the first life the man had. It was in Leviticus 17 verse 11 that the Bible told us that life. He said the life of the flesh is in the blood. He had not known glory. The Bible said God breathed into his nostrils. In Genesis 2:7, he became a living soul. That's the life of the soul, is in the breath. And then there's another life in Genesis 2:9 that was supposed to be the life to activate his spirit, but he never heard of it. That's why the Bible said in Romans 3:21, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. A man who sees new things is a man that has entered the glory, and because of the glory, he journeys from one level of life to another. And if you study life in the spirit, there are seven realms of life. You enter the new when you transit into another realm of life. The first realm of life is the life of the flesh. Everybody born biologically has that life. He is vulnerable. He survives only by the mercy of God. My boy is 4 months old. He knows nothing. All he wants to do is to eat and sleep. And if food doesn't come quick, he starts crying. And he's offended that there's no food. Because what feeds the earthly life are natural things. The moment you receive natural things, you are satisfied. But it's the lowest realm. There are men who are there today. They are famous and popular. They are wealthy, but that's where they are. And you know most of them who control world's economy. That means when we are talking about new realities, it's beyond money. Because there are men who have money, but they are still at the animal life. The animal life survives on food. It came from the dust. And anything from the dust will sustain it. But there is another realm called the soulish life, which all of us developed when we went to universities. The soulish life feeds on information. And so a man who has superior facts and information will naturally dominate natural men. When you want to give value to men, you judge them based on the strength of their intellect, because the soulish is superior to the bodily. But when a man transits to the spirit life, the realm of Zoe, that one comes by the word of God. He said, the words are spoken unto you. They are spirit and they are life. They come to quicken a new dimension. I know many believers are here, but they have not explored this life. Because if you explore this life, your life is lived on the economy of grace and faith. So you can call the things that be not as though they are. So when you see a man who has entered the new, he migrates from the frequency of soulish reality into higher frequency in spirit reality. So that man begins to function by faith. The fig tree might not blossom. The labor of the olive might fail. Many things can go wrong, but that man will stand and say, the Lord is my salvation. I know things are not working, but he said I should speak to this mountain. Too many people are still at the soulish realm of life. So if it doesn't make sense, they are finished. They can fall into depression. They can be kicked out of the scene because of one thing or the other. They are living from their brain. When a man wants to see the new, he will journey from the brain to the spirit. And yet, in spiritual life, there are higher realms. Because when you enter the realm of grace, you now migrate to the realm of the fear of the Lord. The realm of the fear of the Lord is superior to the realm of the spirit life that functions by faith. This is why angelic beings don't just function by faith. An angel can walk through this wall. The wall can't hinder him. He has excelled in faith. He can appear in this natural realm and disappear. An angel can show up and slay 185,000 soldiers in one day. They operate in a realm superior. Faith is their realm. But in that realm of faith, there is an imbibed economy called the fear of God. And so men who migrate from just the realm of faith to the realm of the fear of God are superior in the economy of glory. Those kinds of men, the things they see, the ordinary man cannot see it. The reason is because in the realm of the fear of God, you live by instructions. There are many believers today, they think walking in the new is just to prophesy over them. It's a joke. You will receive prophecies from January to December. You will go nowhere. Because if you don't tremble at the voice of God, you cannot enjoy the powers that glory provides. There is a dimension of wisdom. There's a dimension of power that is available in glory. But you have to transit from one level of glory to another. That's why I say we all with open faces, beholding as in the glass, the image of the Lord, we are changed. If you are functioning at the level of your mind and you have not reached the realm of the fear of God, you are still limited. Remember, the Bible said in Psalm 25 verse 14, it said the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. The true power you have is not the money you have, it's the mystery available to you. A man that has the secret can replicate the money again and again. He can replicate the favor again and again. He can replicate everything he carries, but he has access to mysteries. And what gives him access to mystery is the level of the fear of the Lord that he carries. So all of us can be in this conference, but we are different realms. Somebody can be at the realm of the mind and is entering the realm of faith for the first time, and is beginning to put his faith to work for his school fees, putting his faith to work for what to eat. Welcome, you have come into the new. And somebody else has been in the realm of faith, but he has become godless to a point that he can get the result, but he doesn't fear God. Tell him God speaks. Even when God himself talks to him, he takes it for granted. He will no longer go further. If you like, give him anything this world has to offer, he will lose it. Because what will cause him to possess more of God becomes an economy in reverence. And if that reverence is not there, he can be an apostle or a prophet. He's sold out. He's lost. And when you leave the realm of the fear of the Lord, then for the first time, you will truly be established in the realm of righteousness. That's where righteousness is no longer just a nature. Righteousness becomes a lifestyle. Because for you to walk accurately, you must have the fear of God. The Bible said in Isaiah 11 verse 3, he said, if we make him of a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, then he will no longer judge after the sight of his eyes, nor the hearing of his ear. He has come into accuracy. There's a realm of righteousness. Don't make the mistake of thinking everybody is sinning. That you are sinning does not mean everybody is sinning. Make no mistakes about it. There are many men in this world that have perfected righteousness in the spirit of true holiness. They are standing with God, and God himself can point at them. Have you seen my servant Job? Because it's not only on earth they boast with men. In the heavens too, God boasts with men. Have you seen my servant Job? This one has perfected righteousness. When you leave the realm of righteousness, then you come to the realm of knowledge. Knowledge at this level is experience. It's no longer what you read in a book. It has become an experience of God. It has become an experience. And what that experience produces is oneness. And so when you find a man who is at that level, you will no longer know him after the flesh. He will become a reflection of God. So in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, Paul said, be ye followers of me as I am the follower of Christ. That means even if I don't preach Jesus, if you meet me, it's as good as a man who has met Jesus. If you meet me and meet Jesus and we don't introduce ourselves separately, you will not know who is Jesus and who is Paul. That's why the demon said, Jesus we know, Paul we know, who are you? This man has entered a realm that he has become like God. Those are the new realities. Now that he's at the realm of oneness, everything God has, he has. Everything God possesses, he possesses. There are men who don't pray for things, they command things to happen. When you come into the realm of oneness, everything God says and happens, if you say it, it will happen. Because you have entered a frequency. If you can journey to that level, every day you will operate at the realm of God, at the economy of God. But you have to migrate from flesh, through soul, through spirit, through reverence, through righteousness, into oneness. If you cannot make this journey, you don't know the glory. When Moses walked in the glory and his face began to shine, people attacked Moses, and Moses looked at them and said, except I'm not a man of God. He said, let the earth open her mouth and swallow you up. And suddenly, the mouth of the earth opened and swallowed the people up. What kind of authority is that? This realm is superior to you have favor, somebody dash to a land. No, that's not what we are saying. You come to a level where if you need a land, all you need to do is to point in the direction. no matter what happens, every natural algorithm will come together to make that land appear. This is a realm of true divine authority. And if man wants to experience the new, they must travel in glory. Where are you operating now? Are you still operating at the realm of the flesh, where you are moved by your emotions? Or you are operating at the soulish realm, where you are moved by fact? Or you are operating at the faith realm, where you are moved by what you believe? Or you are living at the realm of the fear of God, where you function only by instructions? Or you are moving at the realm of righteousness, where you are standing with God? Or you are moving at the realm of oneness? If you begin to transit, then you have known the new. But the thing is, this thing is not read in the Bible school. This is where prayer comes in. We all with open faces, beholding as in a glass. That beholding is the focus, the frequency of focus a man enters in prayer. Because the eyes that behold is not the natural eyes, it's the eyes of the spirit. What prayer comes to do is to recalibrate your focus, and you come to a point where you only see him that dwells in the secret. If you can't pray, you can never find that frequency. That frequency is only given to men who pray. That's why Moses had to climb Sinai for 40 days to be able to fine-tune his senses to get to that point. Jesus himself, the Bible said, as he prayed, that was when that activation began to take place. So a man can understand the whole scripture, know the whole doctrine, know the whole principles, and he will cram them and teach them, but he will still be of the flesh. When you come close to him, it is flesh that interacts with you. But another man may not know all the doctrines, but he stays in God's presence. And as he stays there, a point comes, the light begins to appear to him. That man will come out, you will find meekness, you will find brokenness, you will find wisdom, you will find authority. And you say, how shall these things be? And he will say, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Our generation have not understood what prayer produces. There is a dimension of glory locked on your inside that only prayer can bring out. And when you begin to journey in the corridor of prayer, prayer will take you from flesh to spirit. Prayer will take you from departure to the place of oneness. And when you show up, your glory is not in your title. When you show up, your glory is not in your possession. Your glory becomes your essence. Because when men find you, they find God. This is how the men of old walked. They walked as gods on the face of the earth. And David was bold enough to say, ye are gods. Because you are the children of the Most High. He said, ye are gods. How can a man speak like that? He has understood the virgin dimensions of God. That's the man walking in the new. Because every day, the things available to God becomes available to him. He thinks the thoughts of God. He sees the sights of God. He does the biddings and the counsels of God. We have many people in church who don't know the journey of glory, and the economy of life that powers them is still soulish. And so when we consider value and advantage, it is all mundane. If it is mundane, what then do we have to offer Carlos Slim? What then do we have to offer Warren Buffett, who has never called the name of Jesus? Yet everything we call promotion, he has it in abundance. You call a job, he has more than. You say you have a land, they are no longer buying lands on earth. They are in multiverse dimensions now. They have bought all the lands on earth. They are buying lands now in the virtual world. Some are buying lands in Mars because they are tired of earth. They want to relocate. At first, earth became a body. They started buying land on top of water. Now they move from water. They are going to other planets. And some are not going for, they are buying lands in virtual world. And in the next 20 years, when the world is coming into the virtual, they will be the landlords. And then you possess a land, you call it the new. No, that's not the new. The new is something deeper. The new is an economy in the glory. There is a glory locked up on your inside that if you don't excavate it, you cannot find who you are. Because who you are is embedded in the glory that you carry. Did you not read about Rahab? In the natural, she was a harlot. At the frequency of the fleshly life, she was a harlot. But the day the glory began to shine, she became one of the progenitors of Jesus Christ. And if you call the lineage of Christ, you will call the Rahab that was in the flesh a harlot, but in the spirit was the mother of Christ. When the glory comes, a dumb man can become a prophet. Moses had no words. Himself complained to God, I am a man slow in speech. And God asked him, who created the mouth. Do you know where you are standing? You are standing at the gate of glory. And here, you don't need the mouth to talk, because the creator of the mouth dwells here. And eventually, when the story of Moses was told, the Bible said he was mighty in wars and in deeds. The first five books of the law were written by Moses. A man that was backward, as touching eloquence and utterance, suddenly became the wisest of men that lived. The writings of Moses is the foundation of the civilization today. Every nation you see lived by the writings of Moses. Paul was a killer, a murderer, but suddenly he was journeying to Damascus and the glory appeared. And suddenly a murderer became the greatest apostle. And Paul, we said, I labor more than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that is in me. When did he move from being a murderer to be an apostle? That means while Paul was yet murdering, the apostolic horn was there. But that horn is in the glory. He has to be drawn out of his spirit. So the people you see today, you call liars. Some of them are prophets. It's the dimension they are walking in. The people you see today, you call poor. Some of them are wealthy men. There is a wealth in their spirit, because wealth is not money. Wealth is a power. He said, you shall remember the Lord your God. It is him that giveth the power to get wealth. That power is on their inside, but it will take the glory to excavate it. Some of the men you call failures today, they are the solution of the problem of the world. The problem is that they've not entered glory. And so they are judging themselves based on earthly standard. If you begin to pray, what prayer does for you is that prayer opens the door to the glory. And when you enter the glory, you will enter as a man, but you will come out as a God. You will come out as a God. Listen, there is nothing like natural. See, that's why when we ordain men, we don't ordain them based on their natural advantage. Because we know that your natural advantage is actually your limitation. Your true advantage is in the spirit. If you enter there, you that men wrote off, you will show up, and the same people that wrote you off will follow you and say, show us the way to go. Did you not read about Moses? Moses ran out of Egypt out of fear. Moses came back and led Israel out of Egypt. What is the difference? It's the glory. It's the glory. What have you seen? There is something that dwells beyond the stars. You will need prayer to journey there. Many are not praying. They want to hang out with friends. Like Mama was saying, they want to distract themselves on the internet. Shut down the Facebook and sit on the altar for a while. There is an economy in your spirit. If it doesn't manifest, you will be a slave. And when you are a slave, you will see the viciousness of men. Men use men. But when you enter the glory and the value God put in you comes out, you become a solution to your world. Nobody is disadvantaged, because we're all created in the image of God. But it will take the economy of the glory to cause that thing to appear in time. Oh, he said, time will fail me to speak of Gideon. Go and read about this man. To speak of Barak, to speak of Jephthah, men that were rejected. Some of them were born and cast away. They were supposed to be wanderers, but they met the glory. And when the glory appeared to them, they returned as the solution to their nation. Oh, did you read about David? David was not even worthy to be called a son. When Saul came to anoint the king, they didn't bring David, because they felt, what does this one have to offer? He's a ruddy boy. Go and stay in the forest. What you are good for is to take care of sheep. But they didn't know that the king in the order of the Messiah was in David. When David manifested, he came with seven horns. David was a poet. David was a prophet. David was a king. David was a pastor. David was a psalmist. David was a father. And David was a warrior. How can a man carrying this seven dimension be stuck with sheep? Because if the glory doesn't come, you won't know what to carry. When David rose up, he became one of the strongest men. Even Jesus, the throne of Jesus was traced to the throne of David. And this guy would have wasted as a shepherd boy. He was not a shepherd boy. He was a king in the jungle. But he took the glory for that economy to show up. And when David rises, David is a phenomenon to a generation. And when he found himself, the Bible said 400 broken and battered men who were in debt went to David in Kivatola. There was no record that David taught them how to fight, but he had found something in the glory. In his journeys to the glory, he found frequencies. He found vibration. That's why David will say, I uttered dark sentences. He knew that the harp was not just an instrument of singing and dancing. David discovered that in the glory, there is somewhere you will enter that the harp will become a voice that prophesies. And when the men of David came to him, he altered their molecular structure.
David will sing into their spirit. He will string sounds into their spirit. Did you not know that when the earth was created, it was created with sounds? But those codes are in the glory. David had sat there long enough. He knew what to say to change a beggar to a warrior. And when the stories of these men were told, the Bible said that Eleazar, the son of Dodo, he took a spear, one man, and slew 800 men. What did David teach him? What did he learn from David? He had entered the college of the glory because a man that knows the pathway there. And when they came out, they were not ordinary men. Some of them were like beasts. He said three men heard that David was testy, and they broke through the garrison of the Philistine. How can they through a garrison? Those are not men. One of them is equivalent to an army. And when the three of them entered, one was drawing water. Two were standing and stopping an army. Two soldiers. And when he drew the water, he carried the water. He didn't throw away. And he walked through a battle. A battle. What do we call a warfare? Somebody has carried water. He walked through it and said, "Sir, you want water? Take and drink." When David collected it, he said, "No, this is not water." He said, "This is blood." This man put their lives in wars. He won 44 battles. He never drew one because he knew the glory. You don't know what is on your inside. When the devil stops you from praying, he's stopping you from beholding the crystals of eternity. Because you may be a fearful man. They told you are finished. They told you there's no future for you. And everybody you trusted in, they rejected you. And when you had no choice, and it looked as if you were most vulnerable, then you will find what Paul found. He said, "We are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh." That moment of vulnerability, you will crawl to the altar. And while you are there, there's no strength in your spirit, but you are just talking to God. Kakakata, regamano baraka, elua lea favea, umraka kato. The whole day you will pray, God will speak. You'll come back again. Sometimes after 21 days, on the 21st day, he will now tell you, "Go and delete Facebook from your phone." It's a journey. And you are asking, "I'm dying. What has this got to do with my destiny?" They are removing the garbage. The refinery process has been activated. Because when you find crude oil, it's black. There's no value in it. But when you refine it, there are over 300 products that will come out. And before you refine crude oil, you have to pass it through the furnace of fire. There are certain things that will come out at 3,000 degrees Celsius. And so you will be on the altar. Sometimes it will take 7 months. But when the immortals refine you, then they will send you to your world as a spectacle. And when the people who condemn you see you, they will apologize. In your lifetime, something will fall on you that will make you a god to your generation. That's why the Bible said in Romans 15 verse 4, it said, the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. I read the story of Joseph. His brothers rejected him. They caused an enmity between him and his father, and then they threw him to a pit. He became a house boy and he became a prisoner, but he was never broken. He stayed in fellowship with God. He stayed there. He took 14 years of imprisonment, but the guy won't break. And the Bible said in Psalm 105 verse 17, you see, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. He said the king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance. He gave him power to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. That means a prisoner is a teacher of senators. The difference is the side of glory that you are standing. Some of you are before the glory. You need to walk through it. You need to walk through it. It will take many agony and travail to walk through the glory. The first thing you will catch and know that you have entered the new is the glory. If you have not touched the glory, you didn't come into time. You breathed oxygen, but you didn't come into time. Because the true economy of life is in the glory. That's why when man fell, he said, "For all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God." So if you want to summarize life, you can call it glory. Even the inception of Christ into your spirit, it's called Christ in you, the hope of glory. It has always been about the glory. And if you have received Christ, what is left is to journey. Some of you, where your soul structure is, it may take 3 months of prayer. It may take hours of calling upon the name of the Lord. But if you don't bend, you will discover that in your spirit, there is Harvard. The books you read in Harvard were crystallized and stored in documents.
There's a wisdom in your spirit that is fresh. The code of creation is in your spirit. And when you begin to do the business of the glory, something can spring out of your spirit. It will look simple, but a nation can depend on it.
How does this technology work? The first thing that happens is that when you begin to pray, the atmosphere comes to you. That's why I say, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91 verse 1. That's when the journey of glory begins. I'm not talking about this move of prayer that is time-based. You can pray in tongues for 10 hours, but you didn't activate the glory. And so our prayer is not limited by time. Our prayer is limited by atmospheres and realms. And so when you stay there and the atmosphere comes, you will know that another being has entered your room. You will know you are no longer alone. That's when you can fight with the strength of many, because an atmosphere can come. It's a garrison of angels. When Jesus was praying and the atmosphere descended, in it was Moses and Elias. And Moses and Elias didn't come as men. They came in the similitude of the prophets and the law. And immediately the kingdom emerged, because the kingdom is the summation of the prophets and the law. Jesus prayed it down on the mountain. And when that atmosphere came, men didn't come. Systems and dimensions came. There is a realm you will pray to. And while you are yet praying, the lineage of Samuel will meet you there. And they will tell you the kind of prophetic order we walk in. We have the power to keep the enemy at bay. Because when Samuel erected the stone called Ebenezer, he said the hand of God was perpetually against the Philistine. You know, our generation is vulnerable because there are no intercessors. There are no men who can dig into the archive of eternity and find the secret things that were kept before the foundations of the world. There's a realm you can. Why do you think they couldn't fight Jesus anymore? Because he was a commander of the law and the prophets. And so everything the Pharisees were doing was a joke. They carried him to the cliff of the rock to throw him down. The Bible said when they got there, he walked through them. Don't you know that I have collected the law? I am the law now. I am the prophet. Everything you are doing is now in me. And over and above that, I am now the kingdom. Men are not praying. When we pray and the glory comes, different tribes will be born. And that's when you will find the tribe of Paul. That men can come and they will open the oracles of God. And when they speak, it will look as if they were there when the scriptures were written. Because that's where Paul journeyed to. He said, I was in Arabia. And he said, the doctrines that I teach, it was not taught me of men. He said, I received it from God. And when Paul wanted to write concerning virgins, and God didn't speak, he said, concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, but I am found faithful. I can speak on these matters. And the things Paul said became scriptures, because he has gone to where the oracles of God are formed. It's a wisdom that is virgin in nature. It's a realm that is available to men. There are others in the spirit. Oh, there are others. Did you not read about John? He went into the wilderness, stayed there. When he returned, he came as Elijah. Because there are others in the spirit. You don't know your tribe because you have not known the glory. When you know the glory, you will discover what you call advantages in the flesh is your weakness. And then you will find the strength that is strength indeed. That is when men can no longer despise you. Nations, stronger than nations. He said concerning those men, he said they subdued kingdoms. They obtained righteousness. He said they shut the mouth of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. He said weak men were made valiant in strength, and they put to flight the armies of the alien. There is something in you that can liberate your family. There's something in you that can liberate your nation. And it is your responsibility to find it while you are in time. And the purest path through which you can route those possibilities is the path of prayer. That's why when we pray, it's beyond asking God for things. It's to find our reality in the glory. Because when you come there, some of you will discover that you are a movement. Some of you will discover you are systems. Some of you will discover you are nations. When Abraham got there, he said, get thee out of thy country. You are not supposed to be in the country, you are the country. Get thee out of thy kindred. Get thee out of thy father's house. And come to the land that I will show you. And he said, indeed, shall the nations of the earth be blessed. This is a man thinking he's surviving in the halls of the Chaldees. And God told him, no, you are the true blessing. He said, the earth should be blessed because you came. And if you don't find that God that dwells in the pillar of fire, those realities may never be born. Ah! I wish I had time. I wanted to talk about three things. The glory realm is available to us. That's where we fell from. And that's where we must be restored to. And until you are restored to the glory, you can't live. Your life begins the day you touch the glory. Because that's when you will see things that is beyond what men tell. You will learn things that is beyond what men teach. It will be frequencies that you will enter into. And when you are plugged to those frequencies, the eternal things in you will be activated. Have you found yourself in the glory? Say, we all with open faces beholding us in the glass. The image of the Lord, we are changed. And we are not just changed into a different kind of man. He said, we are changed into the image that we see from glory to glory. I don't know what you carry, but the odd thing now, that thing is lost in the glory. You have to find the true priesthood. If it will take you months of prayer, find it. And so the first thing I will pray for tonight is the strength to stand. That's why I told you, the new things are not in the bank. The new things are in the spirit. And like Mama was saying, if you find that strength, you will tarry until you bring forth. Because it's until Zion travails, she cannot bring forth her children. Hallelujah. Hey, ha. Hey, ha. The second thing that you will bet is called intimacy. The summary of reward is experience. That's what life is about. It's experience. You will think you need power. It's not power you need. Power is a body. It is the experience that comes with power you are looking for. You will think you need money. It's not money. That's why when you get the money, you put it in the bank. Because it's not the money you are looking for. It's the experience that the money brings you are looking for. And the same thing applies in eternity. From when God created man to when the story of man ends, it's all about experience. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, the Bible said, in the cool of the day, it said the voice of God came walking in the garden, and the idea was for intercourse and intimacy to be achieved. The reason behind experience is not the fun of it. Bettings only take place when experiences are occurred. That's why before a child is born, there is an experience called intercourse. And so the reason God gives us experiences is because realities are born out of experiences. I can talk to you now about suffering. A man who has gone through suffering, when he's talking, the energy will be different. Because he knows it by experience. So when he's talking, he can create that atmosphere. And so one of the things that God wants to bring men into, which are actually the new things we find in life, are the different degrees of the experiences of God. And so in John 17 verse 3, Jesus said, this is life eternal, that you may experience God. Because there is a dimension of the experience of God you come into that produces either authority or wisdom or favor. Something must come out of every experience you have. And even when time ends, the Bible says, he that had an ear, let him hear. He said, for they that overcome, Genesis 2:7, I will give to it of the hidden manna that is in the paradise of my God. Because even at the end of time, the things God gives men are experiences. Some of them come in form of crowns, but they are the experiences of the authority of God. Some of them come in form of manna. They are the experiences of the fulfillment that is in the realm of God. And so when a man wants to really enter into new dimensions, he needs to taste of different experiences of God. And the psalmist had so much of it. So he said, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you don't experience God, you can compromise. Because your life will still be on the adventure of curiosity. When they suggest things to you, you will think that thing will bring fulfillment. And so you will be running, pursuing after different things. But men who experiences God, they become like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. And so you want to find something new, find an experience. There's a dimension of God that brings, oh. You know, when you want to say some things, you check time, whether you can balance it.
Isaiah was popular. Everybody hailed him as a prophet until he came to the corridors of God and he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Immediately he began to experience God. Himself created a rationale between what he had before and what he's having now. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. The things I tasted and caught sweet, they were a curse unto me. He said, I live among a people of unclean lips. It's a curse beyond me. Because he had come into true reality. And the moment he came, it was natural for him to relinquish the things he had before. Because those things tell you the true essence of life. If you don't experience God, money can give you an experience. Women can give you an experience. And you will define your life on a different paradigm. It is when eternity activates and you cross into that realm, you will discover you wasted your existence. And so a man who truly wants to find a foundation in the realm that cannot be altered must make sure that through priesthood he comes into the experience of God. Like I began to say, when you start praying, the first thing that comes is the shadow of the Almighty. But the point comes when you move from the shadow, you begin to enter different places in Christ Jesus. The Bible said he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Those are the dimensions of the experience of God you have. It's no longer a shadow coming into your room. You can enter a realm where wisdom dwells. And you will discover that wisdom is not an intangible knowledge. You will discover that wisdom is a person. And those who have seen wisdom, they know that wisdom has a feminine gesture. And so every time they call wisdom, they will tell you she. For them, wisdom is not a set of knowledge. Wisdom is a person they have met. And everywhere they go, they carry that energy. That's why nothing can defy them. These were the things people like Daniel saw. And right there in Babylon, there was a testimony concerning Daniel. They said, in him is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Light and understanding is in this Daniel. And he had the ability to explain hard sentences. He said, this man carried an excellent spirit. Nothing can defy Daniel. A man that has experience cannot be defied. Because he knows truth from a lie. He knows truth from falsehood. He knows the standard of God from the charade that his generation has to offer. When you find people who don't have a stand with God, they have not experienced God. And so the second new thing that you will find in the spirit are the different flavors of the God that you serve. There's a dimension of God you will touch that will create fear. That fear will make you walk in holiness. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:11, he said, knowing the terror of God. That's not a Bible study. He went somewhere and he saw the judgment of Elohim. And so because we saw this, he said, we commend men to repent. The men who are still living in sin, they don't know the terror of God. If God allows them to see the terror of God in their lifetime, they will never sin again. And there's another dimension called the love of God. There are some who have experienced the love of God. And because of this love, it will break their hearts 1,000 times to be unfaithful to God. So when you find a man of dogged fidelity, it's because he has tested the love of God. See, we can create system and have principles, love, laws, monitoring people. Men are not faithful because they are under instruction. Men are faithful because they have experienced the love of God. I'm not faithful to my wife because I'm afraid of her. I'm not faithful to my wife because I'm scared. I'm faithful to her because I love her. And so offending her is offending myself. I can't see myself apart from her. And so favor, which is the key to promotion, is born out of the experience of the love of God. And so a man who has entered the new will tell you that he has begun to experience different dimensions of God. One day you go to prayer, you will see the majesty of God's glory. And you will, from that day, you can't operate your phone when you are in church. You can't sit in church and be checking WhatsApp, sending a message. Or you bend down and say, I did come. You don't know who you stood before. When Ezekiel saw him, he said he fell as a dead man. When Ezekiel comes to church, from the door of the church, if he's coming in, you will ask him, have you seen the ghost? He knows the glory of the one he appears before. You, they told you about God, you have not seen him. Everyone who have experienced his majesty, the Bible said they fell like dead men. That's why you find such people. It's easy for them to lie down when they are worshiping. You are wondering, now, wow. You can't lie down with your white suit. No. This cloth was dry cleaned. You don't know the one you came before. When that glory touches you,
you will melt like wax before him, and men will carry you from there. You won't even have the energy to stand up, because you will see something that is beyond the majesty of the world put together. If you know the fear of God, you will not dare sin. If you know the love of God, faithfulness will become your name. The reason people live with compromise is because they have not experienced God. And if you have not experienced God, you have not come into the new. The new is not a promise. The new is a reality. It's available for those who will travel. And that's why when we pray, it's a journey into experiences. If you find men who have truly prayed, they will tell you the different encounters they've had. And they can define different segments of their life according to the ordinances of those encounters. Men don't just appear. They were formed. They were forged in the lake of priesthood. They stayed there until something appeared to them. This shallow Christianity of just coming to receiving prophecy and running away will not take us anywhere. If I ask you now, the different aspects of your life, where can you trace them to? Which encounters can you trace them to? You will now discover why men are in different order and different rank. Because some have a lot of experiences because of the encounters they've had. Samuel was a little boy in the temple until the voice of God came to him. He said, "Samuel, Samuel." He thought it was Eli. And Eli said, "The next time you hear that voice, tell him, thy servant is here, speak." And in verse 21, the Bible said, the Lord appeared again to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And God will establish Samuel as a prophet in all of Israel. Not because Samuel did anything special. He just kept experiencing God. There's a dimension of experience you will walk into. Because what you have, you can give. When you have touched the glory of God, you can communicate it. When you have touched the fear of God, you can communicate it. When you have touched the honor that is in the spirit, you can communicate it. Because you can't give what you don't have. And the way you receive it is by experience. This is why we plant ourselves on the altar. Because beyond the Shekinah that comes, we want to enter the different compartments of Christ. Because Christ is not just a person. Christ is the system of the spirit realm. And depending on how far you journey in Christ, it's what will define the quality of your life in time. We're out of time. I want somebody to pray tonight. Maybe when I come tomorrow, I'll bring you the administration. I want somebody to pray tonight. I've shared two things here. Number one, I spoke about the glory. And I said when a man enters the glory, there's a transition in the quality of his life, which in turn defines the way he lives. And number two, I said when a man enters the realm of the new, he begins to have different experiences in God that defines the dimensions of his conviction that he sustains. The first will require stamina. The second will require access. And so I want to pray. I want us to pray tonight. As we pray, two things will happen. Some of you will receive stamina. I may not prophesy prosperity over you. Some of you are already doing well to the glory of God. But the things you will receive tonight, they will define your life in time and in the world to come. And so some of you will not receive strength only. You will receive access. And as you go back to your altar, every time you pray, you will touch something. And as you touch those things will begin to decorate you. Because we are out of time, I wouldn't want us to do any violent praying. Where you are seated there, talk to God genuinely. Tell him you want the glory. You are tired of being known as a man. Paul said, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Paul himself said, I know a man many years ago. Whether he was in the flesh or in the spirit, I can't tell. He said, but that man was carried to the third heavens. You want to ask God for the stamina that men of old had that made them journey to the depths of God. You want to ask God for the access that some had. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and I heard a sound as of a trumpet. And he said, the voice that spoke to me, he said, come up hither. And as I turned, he said, a door opened in heaven and he have access. Can you pray tonight? Before I pray for you, I want you to make a conscious demand. I didn't have time to ascend.
But like I say, a day will come when we'll have fellowship beyond time. Stamina in the spirit is hunger for the presence of God. Can you ask for it? David said, as the deer panted after the waters, he says, so my soul longeth after thee. In a dry and in a thirsty land where no water is. The deer, the pantings of the deer. Those were the powers of David. You want to find the power of David is in the hunger that he had for God. David journeyed beyond his generation. That's why he could prophesy things that were to come. David knew in the Old Testament that the Holy Ghost could dwell in a man. And when he prayed, he said, take not thy spirit from within me. How do you know that the Holy Ghost dwells in a man? Who told you that? Because he was not living in the economy of his time. His hunger caused him to travel beyond thresholds of many generations. That's what we call stamina. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of God. A day in the house of God is better than thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a servant, a doorkeeper in the house of God than to rule away from God's kingdom.
Ante cobra ante Polonia, Yeshua Polonia, Ipato, 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 Epica, Ante Cobia, Amabina, Ante Coli, Ampatia, Apepila, Kanshika, Panyeshu, Apepita, Ante Polonia, Ipati, Ampatia, Emeti, Ampresisila, Ante Etiladia, Esopopantica, Apopi.
I can lose everything, but not hunger for the present. Because when I leave time, I won't leave a car, I won't leave the car. There is a hunger that keeps the man to God. If you have lost your hunger, you have lost everything. There are some of you, you've had encounters from when you were a child. Graphic encounters. But the older you grow in the flesh, the farther away you grow in the spirit. And so God wants to redirect you to the mountains where your reality was born. Because there's a power you cannot wield. I taught them some days ago about wielding the powers of the ages to come. Those are the things that men should find. When we travel in God, we find immortal things. Those things command a lot of things in time that are byproducts. And so most of you have lost the gate of your encounters. The place where God met you. You had nothing, but you had God. Now you have everything, you've lost God. There's a gate where God meets you. There's a hunger that will mobilize you back to those corridors. As I pray now, some of you will be, you'll find yourself, that atmosphere will return to you. Some of you, The hand of God will come on you strong. I don't want it to be emotional. Just lower the keyboard. Because this is why God sent me here. To bet a hunger, a new craving in your spirit. So that you will know the things that truly matter and stay there. Father. Oh, I see. The anointing of God will begin to touch some of those ones. Because it will take an ability of the spirit to return there. Father, wherever they are, ushers, you will help me now. I speak by the authority of the apostolic. Wherever you are now, at least 7 of them are receiving that fresh impartation. Take that grace now. Ushers, help them here quick. We are out of time. Yeshua.
Somebody call his name Yeshua.
From the things we've lost before we can speak of the new things, because some of us, instead of growing forward in the spirit, we are growing backward. By now there is a level of authority you wield, but even the ones you had, you've lost it. And so restoration must take place for the things you've lost before you can receive the new. There's an oil coming on somebody's hand. It's the balm of Gilead. You are going to heal relationships, heal broken bodies. Because now God will raise you for the nations, the deliverance of the nations. Wherever you are, the fire that provokes that dimension, I summon it from your spirit. Take that fire. Can I have 3 ushers come towards the right here quickly? I'm sensing a strong energy hovering here. And there's a grace towards my right here. It will fall upon some of them. One of them will prophesy. Father, wherever they are now, in the name of Jesus, take that impartation. That's right. I stir that water. It said, with joy you draw out waters from the wells of salvation. Now I call forth that fountain. I call forth that fountain. I call forth that fountain.
Name of Jesus. Please be sensitive. You don't need to fall on the floor for God to touch you. This is their response. Your response may be different. As I'm talking now, some of you may receive instructions. As I'm talking now, some of you, a wisdom will come to you. Our responses are different. One of the new things God wants to do now is that He wants to give somebody an authority to speak, and government will respond. I said, listen, I thought what I thought, because these things, you don't get them by gimmicks and manipulation. They are realms of glory. The same way one angel can enter a city and hold that city spellbound. There's an authority God can put on a man. If that man says, stop the manipulation of government, and the body of Christ can go forward. Listen, we have come to a point
of wickedness and treachery in power that we need beyond natural intelligence to regulate governments. There's a grace coming upon this house now, and somebody is receiving authority to have so much influence with government. You will speak. In fact, when you tell men, "I said it and it happened," they won't believe. You will have to tell them ahead of, so that they will say, "This person said this," because that's the authority God is bringing you into, and it's for the body of Christ. You may not look like it now, because like Joseph, now you may be in the prison, but your word comes to you now. In the name of Jesus, receive that authority now.
Amen.
Take that power now.
Amen.
Somebody is receiving wisdom. Somebody is receiving a strange wisdom now. And this wisdom, I'm seeing you around somewhere where they are dealing with cars, whether they are assembling cars or I don't, you may not be doing it now, please. I don't know whether you are doing it now. I'm seeing God bringing somebody to a realm of authority. And the gate, I'm seeing this application, is something around car. Maybe cars that they don't make in Nigeria. But God is giving you wisdom to come there because He wants to exalt your horn in economy. And it's for the advancement of the kingdom in the last day. And so wherever you are, now, the same wisdom that came upon Bezalel and Oholiab, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, receive that wisdom now.
Thank you, Father. 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 I don't know why. Most times, when God wants me to pray for the sick, the first word of knowledge He gives me, in many occasions, it has to do with the heart. Sometimes I don't even want to say it and just pray for the sick and go. But somebody close to me here, in front here, I don't know why you are having this heavy weight on your heart, like a heart challenge that has troubled you for a while. I'm not seeing a vision. It just came into my spirit as a strong impression of the spirit. Somewhere very close to me here, I usually can pick those energies. Is there anybody close to me here like this? Let me just pray for the sick quickly. Mama, you don't need to come. Just place your hands there. I use that as a point of contact now. And I pray healing for everyone here struggling with one infirmity or the other. Arthritis, pain, growth in the body, eye conditions, ear conditions, bone conditions. In the name of Jesus now, receive your healing. I command the chains of sickness break in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing now. Receive your healing now. In the name of Jesus. I curse pains. I curse growths. I curse bone conditions. Organ conditions. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Somebody is being healed of fibroid. I know there are many ladies here. And so naturally you see ladies, you can say some things that pertains to ladies. That's why usually when God gives me a word, I want to know exactly where it's happening. But I hear now, I wish I can tell where it's happening. Somebody, you had a fibroid condition. You don't need to come out since I can't pick exactly where it is. But as you check, today is Saturday. You will check on Monday, you will discover that you've been healed. I don't want you to come out, so you just throw word of knowledge at random. You will discover you've been healed. Because that growth will just leave you like that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for healings. You can check your bodies. You couldn't lift your hand. Now you can lift it. There was a pain somewhere. You discover the pain is gone. If you have noticed a change, can you just wave at me? You have noticed a change already. Mama is waving. No, not everybody, in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not taking the testimonies. But if you have noticed a change already in your body, can you just wave so that we give glory to God? Praise God. I see hands being waved. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.